celebrating that this weekend. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." We're going to continue our lessons on the marks of a Christian. Tonight we're going to look at courage. Courage. Amen. Would you ask God to just speak to your heart? Thank you, Jesus, for your word. We thank you for your presence, for the challenge that we find here in your word. I pray that you'd help us to be mindful, Lord, of the marks of a Christian, Lord, of what it takes to be an example for you, to let your light shine through us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, challenge us, give us strength and direction here tonight, and we give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Several weeks ago, we began these lessons dealing with the subject, the marks of a Christian. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, he said, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Paul knew what it was like to go through persecution, to go through things because of his work for the Lord. And so in his writing here to the Galatians, he states, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." No doubt there were some physical marks, some evidences of beatings and stonings and persecution, but beyond the physical marks, there were some spiritual things as well. And you can't have the experiences that Paul had. You can't go through those type of things without being radically changed from what you were before. To think that God was preparing Paul. He was preparing Paul for a great work and to write a large part of the New Testament. To be probably the world's greatest missionary that has ever lived, to make such a lasting impact on history. There were some marks upon Paul's life that set him apart from others and enabled him to do such a great work for God. You could tell a difference about him. His life, his body, his soul were not his own, but they were purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so should it be in us. So should it be in our lives. We ought to have some marks upon us as Christians that declare that we're not our own, but we've been bought with a price, and that we are belonging to Jesus Christ, that we're his people, that we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, that we're doing his work. And I believe that God wants us to be different. It goes against common sense. It goes against the Word of God. This idea that we come to the Lord and we accept him as our Savior and then we continue to live however we choose to live or want to live without any change in our life, that's absolutely false. And when we come to the Lord and he receives us, thank the Lord, and he forgives us of our sins, and when we're baptized in his name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, there should be a change that happens. Amen. To where we don't act the way we used to act, and we don't go the places that we used to go, and we don't think like we used to think, and we don't look like we used to look, but there's some marks upon our lives that sets us apart. It's the marks of a Christian. In our first lesson, we looked at loyalty. And then in our second lesson, we looked at patience. Patience. Our world is an impatient society. That's the truth. We want things right now. But it's not like that with the things of God. It's not like that. We looked at some examples of patience throughout the Bible. We looked at the life of Paul. We looked at Joseph. Joseph was patient. Job, of course, Job was a great example of patience. Simeon, waiting to see the Messiah. And the ultimate is Jesus Christ. And aren't you thankful the Lord's patient with us? I'm thankful. Amen. And when should we have patience? When we can't understand? When we suffer disappointment? When things are moving more slowly than what we'd like? God help us to have patience, not to rush into things too fast and not to give up maybe just before the victory comes, but to have patience. God help us to have patience. And tonight we're looking at the subject of courage. Courage. I want to tell you, it takes real courage to live the life of a Christian. It takes real courage. We need to have courage. We read a great story of Christian courage. You can read that in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. It says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." What courage we see here. Paul, he was stoned at Lystra, and he was left for dead. Really, those who stoned him, they fully expected him to die. But God performed a miracle, and he wasn't through with Paul, and so he gave him a great, complete recovery. Don't you know that God has the final say about what happens to us? Thank the Lord. Amen. And until he's through with us, until we've completed what we're supposed to do here on this earth, the devil can try all he wants to kill us, to destroy us, but God is the one in charge. And so what does Paul do now? He has escaped death, and God has miraculously saved him. Common sense would say, well, it's very foolish to return to that place of defeat. It'd be crazy to go back to that city where they almost killed him. But Paul says, I am not defeated. In fact, he says, I take pleasure. I take pleasure in these things that I suffer for the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, we read, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So Paul had recognized that these things bring strength to his life. And so what does Paul do? He goes right back to work. He goes right back to work facing that same mob that had stoned him. I want to tell you, that's courage. That's great courage. Later on, we find Paul in a prison in Caesarea. And when King Agrippa, the governor of Judea, comes to town, Festus, the procurator who was there, he tells Agrippa about Paul, and Agrippa agrees to meet with him and to hear him. I want to tell you, it took mighty courage to stand before a king and to stand before those there that were in the court of that king and to preach about the one that they so desperately hated. That took courage. But Paul bore the marks of Jesus Christ, and his courage came through, and he did preach Jesus to them so effectively, in fact, that Agrippa was greatly impressed, and he cries out in Acts 26, 28, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Here is Agrippa, this friend of the Roman emperor, Claudius. But the courage of Paul made an impact on Agrippa's life. I'll tell you, it takes real courage to stand up before a hostile crowd and to declare that you're for Jesus Christ. That takes courage. But God's looking for such people in the last days who will have courage to stand for Him when it's not popular, to stand for righteousness, to stand for truth, to stand for holiness, to not be intimidated by the world or by false doctrine or by compromise, but to say, I'm going to stand for God and I don't care. I don't care if it's popular. I don't care what persecution comes my way, but I'm going to have courage and I'm going to stand upon the Word of God and the principles in the Word of God. Another hero of the Bible who exemplified great courage was John the Baptist. John the Baptist. He called the religious leaders of that day, he called them a generation of vipers. That was pretty strong language. That took courage. Later on, John the Baptist, he found out that King Herod was living in sin with his brother's wife. Imagine what courage it took as John the Baptist faced Herod. Just envision that scene. Here's Herod. He's decked out in his kingly and royal robes and with the woman sitting there at his side. And this is a king that has the power to take your life if he doesn't like what you say. And later he would have John beheaded as a request of the daughter of Herodias. But John is there before him, and he's dressed simply in his camel's hair coat, and he's just this simple country preacher. What is he going to do? Will he bow down, and will he sanction what the king is doing? No, he had more courage than that. And he pointed his finger at the king, and he said, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." It took courage. It took boldness. He could have just kept silent. He could have just, just kind of tried to avoid the issue. But there was something within him, the courage. It just couldn't be silent. He said, I've got to call sin, sin. I want to tell you, our world is sly and it's devious. Putting sin before us and calling it good. Promoting revolting lifestyles as well, they're just normal and they're just to be accepted. And just daring somebody to say something about it. It takes courage to call sin, sin. It takes courage to stand for righteousness in an evil day. I tell you, we love the sinner and we love those who are lost, but we don't love their sin. We love their soul and we reach for them and we love them, but we don't love their sin. And the fact that we love them, it doesn't make their sin right. It takes courage to stand for truth. It takes courage to call sin, sin. Way back in the Old Testament, God commanded Moses to select 12 men and to send them into Canaan to spy out the land. When they returned, 10 of the spies, they said, yes, the land, it flows with milk and honey. It's a great land. There's wonderful, wonderful things there. But the people are strong. The cities are walled and very great, and there's giants in the land, and we can't go up against them because they're stronger than we are. But Joshua and Caleb, they were of another opinion. Amen? And they said, with God's help, we can take it. We don't have to fear the people. Yes, they're strong, but the Lord will be with us. In Numbers 13:30, we read, it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. They were men of great courage, Joshua and Caleb, and the people didn't listen. They chose instead to listen to the voice of doubt and fear. But Joshua and Caleb, they were rewarded for their courage. You see, all the others died in the wilderness, but Joshua and Caleb entered into the promised land. Who is it today that you've received a promise from the Lord? And you see, you've had a word from the Lord. There's been direction from God that's pointing you to a promised blessing or a promised land in your life, promised revival and some type of victory or blessing. And there may be others that turn back. There may be others that are fearful and lose out with God along the way. But God's looking for someone who will have courage, who will say, I'm not turning back, but I'm going to press along. I believe today the word of God, and I stand upon his promises. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I tell you today, don't let your heart be troubled, but take courage. Somebody take courage. Come on, have faith in God. We're not having faith in our own strength, but we're having faith in God. And there's no greater example of us of courage than that of our Lord. How courageous he was. He stood before raging mobs. He faced intense opposition. But he wasn't afraid. He stood up to the mighty leaders of the Sanhedrin. He ran the money changers out of the temple. He called the Pharisees, hypocrites, right to their face. He was a real man of courage. Luke 13:31 tells us, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do curses today, and cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. In other words, you go tell that fox. I realize that he has power, but I'm not afraid of that power. That took courage. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to arrest him, he said, I'm the one that you seek. And we read in John 18:6, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. They fell back. Back on the ground, it says, in the face of such courage. If we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, if we're going to bear the marks of Jesus Christ, then we better have the mark of courage. We need that same courage today. There needs to be a holy boldness that would come upon us to stand for truth and stand fast in the face of this world and in the face of false doctrine, in the face of evil, in the face of sin and compromise. It takes courage to be a Christian. We need courage in the church. Why is it that some just don't make it in the church? There's a lot of reasons, but could it be that some simply don't have the courage? Help us, Lord, to have courage. Being a Christian is not easy. It's not a bed of roses all the time. It takes courage to be a Christian. We can't just make it on our parents' relationship with God. We can't just rely on our spouse's prayer life. We can't ride on the coattails of someone else's devotion to God. We have to have the courage to stand for ourselves. I want to tell you, it takes a big man. It takes a big man to really live for God. And I'm not just talking about physical size. It takes a strong woman to live a holy life. It takes courage. Someone once described weak Christians as being like an elevator. We step into that elevator and we push the button, and through no effort of our own, it takes us up to the next floor, hopefully. And sometimes people think, well, all I need to do is just step in the church, and I'll just be carried up to heaven, and I don't have to put any effort in. And the fact is, though, we'll never reach the heights that God has prepared for us if we don't have courage, if we're not willing to pay a price, if we're not willing to sacrifice some things, if we're not determined to make it no matter what. We need courage today. We need courage to stand for what's right. It's easy to stand for what's right when we're in the church, but what about when we're in our world? And do we have courage to say no to sin? It takes courage to say no to temptation, to say no to the pleasures of the world. When someone suggests doing the wrong thing, do we have the courage to say no? When popular opinion goes against what we believe, do we have the courage to say, I don't agree? Or will we just go along with the crowd? When drinks are passed around, do we have the courage to stand up? When dirty jokes are told, do we have the courage to turn away? It takes courage. Sometimes, not even being out in the world, but in the church. Do we have the courage to say no to gossip? To resist talking about our brother or our sister? To stand up for spiritual leadership when someone has become bitter and they're angry at the church, they're angry at the pastor? Do we have the courage to stand for true holiness? When someone wants to cut corners and slide ever closer to the world, do we have courage today? I want to tell you, it takes courage to stand. Someone once said there are two kinds of courage. One is courage for crucial situations. And the other type is courage for everyday life. Sometimes we have to have more courage for the things of everyday life than the crucial moments. You know, we're all geared up when it's about time to have a major spiritual battle. And we've been praying and we're excited about what's going to happen. And we're on guard against temptation and we're geared up and we have courage and we're going to fight this battle. But we often get tripped up when life is just kind of carrying on. It takes courage to plod along every day, to carry our responsibilities, to be faithful day in and day out, to always stand up for what's right, to continually resist the enemy. I tell you, that takes real courage. There's going to be many times, perhaps, that we'll be afraid of things that we have faced, but being courageous does not mean that we're never afraid. Courage presses on despite fear. The story is told of King Henry IV, who was a great soldier, but every time they were about to go to battle, his knees would tremble uncontrollably. It's recorded that he would speak to those trembling knees and he would say, "You tremble, you vile things." And then he'd tell them, "You'd tremble more than that if you knew where I'm going to carry you in the next hour." I tell you, sometimes we face fear, but courage presses on despite fear. It's hard to always live right. It's hard to always do what the Lord would have us to do. It's easier to give up, but we must not. We must grit our teeth, and we must press on. We must move on ahead. Have courage, my friend. Have courage and go on through. Have courage to carry on when it's not easy. Have courage to stand when it's not popular. Have courage to keep marching when others fall. Somebody needs to hear the voice of this pastor and say, "I'm going to have courage. I'm going to have courage. I almost stumbled there. I almost gave up. I almost gave in. But I'm going to continue on." How do we have courage? How can we find courage? How can we get this courage that we're speaking of here today to stand, to be faithful, to carry on? First of all, when we're afraid, we have to realize that as Romans 8:31 declares, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God be for us, then who can be against us? That's the ultimate courage, is faith in God's presence and And yes, I don't have the strength, and I'm fearful about some of the things I'm facing here, but I'm going to have courage, and I'm going to stand with the Lord and faith in God's presence. Remember the mighty army that came one day to capture Elisha. And Elisha's servant, he looked around and saw all of the horses and chariots that were there, and he was so afraid, he didn't see any way out. He thought that they were definitely in for destruction. But Elisha prayed, and his servant's eyes were open, and then he looked around, and he could see the host of the Lord that was gathered all around him. I tell you, God's power is always around those who trust in him. Come on, we need to have faith, and we need to realize today that God knows where we're at, and he knows what we're going through, and he's got greater power than anything that we would face, and there's more that are with us than are against us. I love Psalm 34. David writes in verses 1 through 8, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Too many times we depend upon ourselves. We look to our own strength. We look to our own ability. But we've got to realize the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fears him and delivereth them. I tell you, the Lord is good. Taste and see today. The Lord is good. He'll be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But you can have courage through the storm. So many times we're dependent on ourselves. It's no wonder that we lose courage, because we're lacking. But we need to realize God is near. And as Romans 8:28 declares, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I would say to you, be of good cheer. Don't let your heart be troubled. Take courage today. God's in control of this. We have to stay in his will, and as long as we stay in his will, everything's going to be okay. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. A group of military tacticians were once studying the success of a certain regiment of soldiers as compared to others who had failed. They wanted to know why this certain regiment was always victorious, it seemed. And the answer that they came to was that those who always had the victory, they had great faith in the cause that they were fighting for, while the others did not. I've come to tell somebody here tonight, we're fighting for a cause worth fighting for. This is a great cause, and we can have faith in the cause of Jesus Christ tonight. We have a great purpose. We have a great calling, and we have a great commander. Amen. We have a great commander. He loves us, and he's directing us, and he's going to bring us through to victory. I tell you tonight, we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. You just keep faithful to God. You keep coming to church. You keep living in victory. You keep being faithful. Amen. You keep praying and you keep trusting in God, because I know that we're going to win in the end. We're on the winning side. We can always have courage. We know that Jesus Christ is with us and he's going to bring us through. And this is the greatest cause that there has ever been. Praise the Lord. How else can we find courage? By having hope for the future. You know, we really can't live long without hope. I've heard it said before that someone can live for several days to several weeks without food. Can live for several days without water. But once we lose hope, it's all over. Without hope to cling to, there's nothing left. It's hope that keeps us alive. It's hope that makes a person brave to face the future. It's hope that keeps someone who is sick as they look forward to the next day when hopefully they'll be better. It's the hope of a morning to come that brings us through a sleepless night. Hope. Psalm 31 and 24, it's a psalm of David. It says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." That's our hope tonight. My hope is not in the wisdom of man. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in the stock market. My hope is not in the government. My hope is not in the things of society. It's not in the goods that God's blessed us with. That's not where our hope lies tonight. Our hope is in the Lord. We hope in the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. If you're losing hope tonight, we need to look at where our hope is placed in. Where does our hope stand? Come on, my hope has to be in the Lord. Our hope has to be in Jesus Christ. The things of this world will pass away, but I'm looking for something that's going to stand forever. I read the Word of God, and my hope is in those promises. I feel the anointing and the moving of His Spirit, and my hope is in another world. It's not in the things of this life, but it's in a supernatural reality. Hallelujah. The word courage, it comes from the Latin word cor, which means heart. Have courage or have heart. Courage is a matter of the heart. I want to promise you tonight, if we'll give our heart to Jesus Christ, if we'll let Him fill our heart with His Spirit, if we'll let Him give us a new heart, if we'll keep our heart close to Him, then He is going to give us courage to live this Christian life. The marks of a Christian. I think about my grandparents' days of first coming into the church. And even before them, great-grandparents that were blessed to know this truth. And I believe I had a great-great-grandmother who was filled with the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful thing. But it wasn't popular. They didn't have a nice, fancy church. Oh, they would have been blown away to have a church like this. There wasn't carpet, and there wasn't pews, and there wasn't air conditioning for sure. They had some lanterns, and they'd go out in the woods somewhere, and they'd make a little brush arbor. They'd hang those lanterns, and they'd be out there with the bugs and whatever else. I've heard stories of people in the town going out to do their best to terrorize those, they call them apostolics. I've heard stories of them setting, I don't know if it was wild cats or something loose, you know, trying to disturb the church. Taking vegetables to do their best to throw rotten tomatoes. They had courage. Courage. I think of stories like Elder J.T. Pugh. When he came to the Lord, he literally left everything. His family basically disowned him and his sister, I believe it was. And he suffered beatings, literally, because of his faith in Jesus Christ. They had courage. We've really got it pretty easy. I don't know what is going to happen before the Lord comes back. I really don't know. Brother Baxter feels like America is going to be protected from some of the things that are going to happen towards the end time. And I definitely hope so. But I know this, something has got to happen so that America turns their hope and their faith to Jesus Christ. People are too content with their own lives. They're too content with life without God. They're too content with their bank account. They're too content. They think, well, I've got everything I could ever need. Why would I need Jesus? Something's got to happen to turn that. I don't know what the Lord has in store for us, but I know this. We need to pray that God give us courage to face whatever is coming. Give us courage. Give us courage to stand for truth. When others are letting down on doctrine, when others are compromising holiness, when others are not paying the price, God, give us courage to stand. Lord, when we're preaching the gospel and it's not popular to those who are hearing us, Lord, help us to have courage. Help us to resist the urge to, well, just back off on it a little bit because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. But God, give us love to be able to minister in love, but help us to have courage to speak the truth. What is it that you need courage for tonight? What is it that you need courage to face? Are you facing some crucial situations that you know are much bigger than you are, and you need the Lord to give you courage to face those things, to give you hope today, to bring you through with faith? Or perhaps tonight it's not even those big things. Maybe it's just the daily living, the daily grind, day in and day out. Maybe it's a struggle to keep being faithful and to keep resisting sin. And maybe the enemy's just about got you worn down and you're considering giving in. What is it you need courage for? God wants to give courage. We need to bear the mark of courage. I wonder if we could stand tonight. Courage. Hallelujah. In the face of every attack that comes from the enemy, we can declare, if God be for us, who can be against us? In the face of fear, I want you to remember the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Yes, I know that storms come, but someone please take heart tonight. For all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Don't you dare lose hope for a brighter day, but be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Whether it's courage to face some type of big situation that you're up against, or courage just to try to be faithful through everyday life, I wonder if we could go to the Lord right now and say, God, give me courage. Help me, Lord, to bear the mark of courage in my life. Help me to bear that mark of being a Christian today. Help me to be a courageous Christian, Lord, willing to stand for you, willing, Lord, to pay the price, willing to be set apart from all others, to do the work that you've called us to do. Give me that courage to stand today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. I pray that you would give us courage right now. I pray that you would give us hope in you, Lord, right now. I pray that you'd help us to be willing to pay whatever price it takes. Help us to be willing to stand. Help us to do whatever it is that you've called us, however unpopular it might be. Give us courage, I pray. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'd give us strength. Give us strength, Lord. Help us, God, direct our path. I pray that you direct our steps and give us the boldness it's going to take. Give us the strength it's going to take. Give us courage, oh God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it takes courage to be a Christian. It takes courage to stand for righteousness. It takes courage to live a holy life. It takes courage to stay separated from the world. It takes courage to do the right thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you bless the men of Harvest. I pray that you bless the men of our church. I pray that you would give them courage to stand. Give them courage to be leaders. Give them courage, Lord, to stand for righteousness, even when it's not popular. I pray that you would give them courage, Lord, to be leaders in this community, to be righteous leaders, to be examples for this world, to stand for truth on the job, to stand for truth in their neighborhood. I pray that you would give us courage, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless our ladies today. I pray that you would give them courage to show forth the beauty of holiness. I pray that you would give them courage to stand against sin, to stand against the things of unrighteousness, Lord. Give us courage to stand for truth in the midst of an evil day. I pray that you would touch our young people right now. God, you know the battles that they're facing. You see the peer pressure. You see the pressure of this world. But God, I pray that you would give them courage. Help them to realize, God, we're a royal priesthood. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stand for you. Give us courage today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I can't help but feel that that there's someone here today, the enemy's just been wearing you down, and you need to pray, God, God, give me the courage to stand. Give me the courage to keep doing right. Give me the courage to keep resisting sin. Give me the courage to stand for truth, to stand for holiness. Lord, give us courage, I pray. Give us the strength it's going to take to stand. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When I think of courage, I'm taken aback about probably about 9 years, maybe 7 or 8 years. Daniel was probably 3 or 4, maybe. And he had a couple of different things. He had to get a set of tubes put in, and another time they took his adenoids out. And I remember going into that surgeon. He was scared, you know, and didn't know what to expect. He's just a little boy. And I can remember the nurse came out, and it was a man, tall guy, and here was this little boy. He's fearful, you know, of going in to face the surgery, but I can remember, even though he was scared, he was brave. And I remember him grabbing onto the back of this nurse, and the nurse giving him a piggyback ride, you know, to the back. And having courage doesn't mean that we're not afraid. having courage, it doesn't mean that we've got all the answers. In fact, having courage and faith in God means that we know we don't have the answers. But we're going to stand and we're going to make it through and we're going to be brave despite the fear, despite the questions, and despite the uncertainties. And don't you know the children, the three Hebrew boys, they had courage, but there had to be some questions in their heart, just a little bit. Lord, I'm standing for you, and I believe you can take me through this, but even if you don't, I'm still going to serve you, but I'm kind of wondering what's about to happen. But they had courage. They had courage. What is it you need courage for? Perhaps this message was just for you tonight to know. You need to keep believing God for it. You need to keep standing for truth. You don't need to be afraid to stand for what's right. Have courage. Have courage. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you tonight. We appreciate every one of you. Appreciate your families. We pray for you. Keep praying for Texas. We're thankful that we've been able to be a blessing to the church, and we'll keep you posted on that situation. Pray for Florida now, too. Aren't you glad you live in Missouri? Praise the Lord.